Hello, this is Steve Braswell. Welcome to my podcast. We're in the midst of a series on disabilities and the church. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the question, why is this topic so important? Last week, what does the Bible say? And today, the last in this series, what can my church do? Make it personal and make it a matter of applying it to our lives. So I've got seven suggestions. First, my personal story. I told you about our daughter, Lauren, who had epilepsy and an intellectual disability. She was in a neurotypical kindergarten class in public school. Toward the end of that first year, the teachers told us that they thought it would be best for her to repeat another year of kindergarten. You see, at that point, we thought Lauren's learning capabilities were slow and delayed, so give her some extra time to see if she can catch up. But after the second year of kindergarten, it became apparent that it was not just a temporary delay. More than likely, this was the way it was going to be for her for the rest of her life. She was still capable of learning to read some and improving her life skills, but she would never be on the same functioning level as her chronological peers. So what would this mean for her in public school? She would start going to a classroom specifically for exceptional children. She would have programs that matched her skills. She would go to therapy sessions. She would be taught on her level. But what would this mean for her at church? You see, public schools already have EC programs and are equipped for that, but most churches are not. When she was five, she could be in a class of five-year-olds at church. She would still stand out, but she could get by. As she got older, this was no longer the case. Workers at church didn't know how to handle her or respond to her needs. She sometimes had severe behavioral problems. Of course, this was at home and at church, but they would notice it at church specifically. They were not trained in how to respond. Sometimes they were scared of her and just let her do whatever she wanted to do, which was not good for her and not acceptable to us. My wife, Joy, would go to pick her up. She'd be lying on the floor with her shoes off, maybe crying or just doing whatever she wanted to do. Part of it was due to the fact that the program didn't match her skills. It didn't come close. She just didn't fit in. So what were we going to do? I was the pastor. I taught Sunday school class myself. I led worship and preached. I interacted with people constantly before and after all these activities. That meant that anything related to caring for Lauren was left to my wife, Joy. And some Sundays, it was hard. It was embarrassing. It just wasn't working. So Joy decided maybe it was time to just stay home with Lauren. Now, I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want my wife and my daughter to be isolated from the church community, but I didn't know what else to do. How did we feel? We were drowning, and it seemed like no one noticed or cared. And I'm the pastor. Can you not see what's happening to me and my family? Do you care about me? And if you don't care about me, you're certainly not going to care about a family of strangers coming to the church for the first time. Thankfully, one elder stepped forward and took the lead. She said, "This just isn't right. We need to do something to address Lauren's needs." So in time, she, along with the associate pastor and a group of volunteers, developed a Sunday school class especially for children with special needs, a curriculum that communicated Bible truths to them where they were, was what they would use. That's a difficult thing to do because each child with special needs is different. It takes a different key to unlock their minds. And sometimes for the same child, it takes a different key on one Sunday than it does on another Sunday. From my experience, I would say what it takes is not a preconceived curriculum so much as just learning to be with them, sit with them, talk with them, get to know them, watch their reactions, listen to them, figure out the best way to be with them and share Jesus. By the way, that's not bad advice for all other ages and needs, too. Figure out who they are, and then the best way to just be with them and share Jesus. So they started this new Sunday school class. They called it the Welcome Club. Lauren had a special friend from school who also came to the class. We sent flyers inviting children with special needs to all the EC elementary classes we knew in the area. No one else came. Joy worked as a substitute teacher in a lot of those EC classes, and she or I got to know a lot of those kids. I knew that some of them had such severe issues that if they did show up at our church, we would have to do some training to prepare some of the teachers. But we would issue the invitation and then cross that bridge when we came to it. Now, I know of much larger churches who have entire programs designed for children with special needs, with special events, and that's great. Not every church can do that, but I would encourage you to do what you can in your church. You don't have to match another church or even match the resources of a larger church. Maybe it won't even be having a program for them at your church. Maybe it's just something you can do for them in the community or for their families. Most families would greatly benefit just from respite care. Maybe you don't feel like you can do that, but do what you can to get to know them. Let me train you on what their needs are and how you can help them. Okay, the second suggestion is about the great need. I read the report of a recent survey of pastors about children and youth with special needs. Here is the majority report. Here's what most pastors said. We don't have them in our church. I don't have any contact with anyone like that. Besides, providing for their needs would create huge burdens for our volunteers and would only benefit the person with disabilities. Now, that last part is so not true, but it is what the majority said. First, it sounds like you're saying that the person with disabilities is being selfish. How dare you ask us to change so much to meet your great needs? That's just too much to ask. Second, it's false anyway, because you have so much to gain and to learn from people with disabilities. Even people who don't think like you or look like you or whom you find hard to look at or interact with, they are a gold mine of spiritual lessons for you. They will teach you about love and about what life is really all about if you will just open yourself to them and let them be your teacher. There are millions of children and youth with disabilities, but only a small percentage of them attend church on a regular basis. Why? Well, a recent survey of families of children with special needs showed these results. 1/3 of them left a church because they were not welcome. 1/3. 1/2 refrained from participating in a church activity because their family member was not welcome. One mother called all the churches in her town, every one of them asking a question. Is there a place at your church for my child with special needs? And the response in her town, not one said yes. So there is a great need. Suggestion 3, what we are missing without. Disabilities can be viewed as shocking or as an escape from the norm, so we just avoid them. Churches like stories about people who have been saved or healed from disabilities, but they don't like hearing about disability as a way of life. Disability can be thought of in sad terms as a sense of loss, or a way to learn more about what life is really all about. Is it just walking and driving, being able to complete a crossword puzzle? I don't know, our daughter Lauren could never drive, but she could hug you and help you feel Jesus' love. She could sing Jesus Loves Me and teach you more theology in that song than listening to 100 of my sermons. Fourth suggestion. Watch your language. Put people first in your speech. Instead of calling them a disabled person, say a person with a disability. Language does matter. And notice the difference. If you call them a disabled person, the disability comes first and defines who they are as a person. But if you say a person with a disability, their personhood comes first. Instead of an autistic child, say a child with autism. Person first. Disability doesn't define everything about their identity. And remember that some people are nonverbal, but that doesn't necessarily mean non-communicative. And one more suggestion about language. Please stop using the word retarded. When I was young, the proper way to refer to a child with an intellectual disability was mentally retarded. That was the phrase that was used. But language has changed. And whatever you do, and I've heard this so many times, don't make a mistake and say, well, I'm so retarded. That is so hurtful to families who have a child who does struggle with an intellectual disability. Fifth suggestion, be willing to change. There's a good word for all churches about all things. The Gloria Patri says, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Now, it is referring to the glory being to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, not to the programs of the church, but many churches operate that way. Our programs are as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. The famous last words of the church are, we've always done it this way. The changes need to come to the church to accept more people with disabilities. And usually it comes in waves. The first wave is just making the building handicapped accessible. Is there any part of your church building that is only accessible by stairs? If so, it's not available to some people. You need to change that. Then the second wave is making studies appropriate for people with intellectual disabilities. My experience is that by boiling the truths down to their simplest form, we actually make them more accessible to neurotypical adults too. And I know there were many Sundays when I was pastoring, the adults got more out of a well-planned children's sermon than they ever did out of my regular sermons. And then the third wave applies to behavioral needs. Is there anything in your worship service that is too loud? How do children with autism respond in that setting of your worship service? Maybe you need to either make some changes or make some accommodations so that they can be involved and included too. Sixth suggestion, listen to them. Find a way to engage families of children with disabilities and then simply ask them about how they feel. What has their experience been in your church? What would be more beneficial for their child? Be willing to ask those questions and be willing then to listen to the answers. And if the answers aren't what you want to hear, don't just discount them. A big part of my Doctor of Ministry thesis project was simply giving space to families to talk about their experiences at churches. Most of it was negative. Many church people may mean well, but they can be so hurtful in their speech and actions. And it's even more hurtful when you consider the church a representation of how God feels about you. When people tell their stories, don't immediately get defensive and start explaining all the reasons the church responded in that way. Many people have been hurt by the church, and not just on this issue of disabilities, on other issues as well. Respond to them with compassion. Be willing to admit that sometimes churches in general, and maybe even your church too, have just got things wrong and need to change. Seventh suggestion, have a vision for your church. Use your imagination for what your church could become, not just by instituting a new program or curriculum or school, but by becoming a community of hope for those who have lost their hope. listen to their stories, discern their needs, provide respite for tired caregivers, be their friend, become their advocate for better services in schools and communities. Be their Jesus by asking, what do you need? What can I do for you? Those can be difficult questions. It can be difficult to hear the answers, but we need to be willing to listen and then let that affect our vision for our church. I hope that this series has been helpful to you in learning about people with disabilities and how that affects our churches. And I hope that you will be willing to listen to people's needs and make changes where you can. You can't be everything to everybody, but you can at least make some changes for some specific individuals and try to show them that Jesus loves them too. Thanks so much for listening. Next week, we start a brand new series. It's one I'm calling Five Directions God Wants Us to Look. So each week over the next 5 weeks, we'll be talking about a different direction that God wants us to look. Next week, it's Look Up. So I hope you'll be able to join me next week.